This sin here is what we're striving against. It's the sin of unbelief, and our striving against unbelief. We're striving against sin. We want to do the right thing. We want to trust the Lord, but yet we find ourselves controlled by those things at times when our eyes have been pulled off Jesus Christ. And so we have a struggle in trusting the Lord when things get tough.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today's message gives us a lot of review of the past several broadcasts.
Yes, it does, Dave, yet it's so important that we understand the concept of God's discipline. So let's get right to it and turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 13.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
He is a loving God who is using everything in our lives for our good. And yet within those difficulties, we can get discouraged. We can become weak and feeble in the sense in our faith in Christ because things can become so massive in front of us. So with that in mind today, we're going to see in light of why things are so difficult, how we are to respond to the difficulties God allows in our lives. So with that in mind, would you turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to be continuing. We'll have this message this week, and then we'll finish our portion in chapter 12 next week. We're going to be looking today at verses 12 and 13 in Hebrews chapter 12. And I believe we're going to see the first of two commands to heed in light of what we've seen so far. Now, the context, we all pretty much were here last week, but I'm going to review it briefly. The context of the book of Hebrews, we know that it was written exclusively to Hebrew believers who were suffering for their faith. And they had become immature. They'd become dull of hearing. Their eyes had left Jesus, it seems, and they were focused on their difficulties. And they were in need of encouragement. They were in need of endurance, chapter 10, verse 36. And now to exhort these believers to hold fast their confession and faith of Jesus, to exhort them not to turn away or quit or to fall limp in a sense, to not walk away from following Christ temporarily as non-believers, to not walk away from Him as the Savior. We have encouragement that Jesus Christ is a superior high priest, that He and His new covenant is greater than the old covenant, which they were familiar, which was a type and shadow of what was to come. We see that the author begins to prove that Jesus is superior by proving He is superior to the angels, the messengers of the old covenant, and that He is superior to Moses, the apostle of the old covenant, and that He is also a superior high priest who mediates a superior covenant based on His once for all sacrifice for sins, which brought about eternal redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And then we saw what our response should be to so great a salvation as true believers, that we are to be continually drawing near to Him, hoping continually and loving Him by loving and serving Him and His people. Then in chapter 11, we have the direct encouragement beginning where we see the Old Testament saints who by faith endured. They believed what God said. We see the New Covenant lifestyle as exemplified by Old Testament saints. Faith in the Lord and faith in what He has said, an eternal focus. And then we came to chapter 12 where we saw, since we have so great a cloud of testifiers, those Old Testament saints who endured, who trusted God, we see throughout the Word of God, they're surrounding us, the examples are everywhere. Since we have so great a cloud of testifiers, let us run this race with endurance which is set before us. But we should lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily trips us up. And then we saw that we should be fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And from that point, we came to what we saw last week, where we saw that the Lord God brings things in our lives or allows them in our lives to make us more like Christ. So with this in mind, understanding God's discipline on our lives, understanding that He uses every event in our lives, how are we to respond? Well, look at chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. And then I want to read the next portion, which we'll look at, Lord willing, next week. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification with which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. And that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. And so back in our passage, we have the beginning here in verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Our passage starts out with this term, therefore, and in the Greek language, it's a Greek word that means for this reason. For this reason, then, do these things. And that's really what's going on in our passage. For this reason, what he has shared before, then do these things, which we're going to see today. There's basically four commands, three direct commands, and then an implied command. For this reason, well, what is that reason? Well, we saw it last week, and it was important that we just briefly review what we saw last week in verses 4 through 11, because it's what he shares there for this reason that we should be then doing these things. You'll remember in verses 1 to 3, we were given examples that motivate us, that cloud of witnesses, that cloud of testifiers, that motivate us to lay aside every encumbrance. And the sin, that sin of not believing the Lord, not believing His Word, that so easily entangles us and takes tight grip upon our lives. And to run this race with endurance that's set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who endured for the joy set before Him, who brought about redemption for us. And then we saw last week in verse 4, He says, you have not resisted, in contrast to the Lord's faithful struggle, which He brought about redemption. You believers have not resisted to the point of shedding blood, and you're striving against, and we saw that word, the sin. You've not resisted. It's not as bad as it could be in your lives, right? You haven't been martyred yet, right? You know, no matter how bad or how difficult our lives are, we haven't been killed yet, right? It's not as bad as it could be. But in contrast, we see that this sin here is what we're striving against. It's the sin of unbelief, and our striving against unbelief. We're striving against the sin. We strive against sin. We want to do the right thing. We want to trust the Lord, but yet we find ourselves controlled by those things at times when our eyes have been pulled off Jesus Christ. And so we have a struggle in trusting the Lord when things get tough. We have a struggle when there are difficult situations around us, difficult circumstances, difficult relationships, whatever it might be. And so, is that not when we struggle with our faith, when things happen in our lives? Absolutely. And for those of you facing hardship, we are tempted to look at our circumstances and the situation, and within that, our eyes are so subtly pulled off of trusting Christ and believing in His Word, and then we can become discouraged. But yet it isn't as bad as it could be. But we saw last week that these Hebrew believers, they had forgotten something. They had forgotten what God does through all the difficulties in our lives. Look at verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. It's clear in the context that the struggle, this fight against those who were persecuting them and the situations they were struggling against, being tempted to be discouraged about, that this had been ordained by the Lord and God was allowing it to happen. But more specifically here, He's saying it's His discipline. And you might remember we looked at this concept of discipline in the Word of God. It's not simply chastisement. It's not simply a spanking. We saw that God's discipline involves certainly a spanking if needed, but it also involves training and education or a combination of both, or even those things that might prevent us from sinning. You think about someone who is disciplined in something. There's training going on, and God is training us through all the difficulties that come in our lives. And we have to see it that way. Once we confess our sin, even the failures that we have, we do something, we sin, we fail, and there are difficulties, there are consequences for those things that may or may not be going away, but yet God is willing to use them and does use them to train us, to trust Him, to be more like Jesus Christ. Difficulties with whatever it might be, He's using those things in our lives. He uses them for our good. But yet we are like these Hebrews. We can forget in the moment the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. They had forgotten a very familiar scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, a very familiar scripture that God disciplines the one whom he loves. They had forgotten that that's what God does, that he scourges every son. They had forgotten that. And because of immaturity and word forgetfulness, they were most likely seeing their trials through human lenses and were becoming discouraged and maybe wanting to give up, as we saw, to grow weary in that sense. The term means to give up. And it's this point that God, through the writer of Hebrews, gives them a reality check from Hebrews, in Hebrews, to the Hebrews from Proverbs chapter 3, clearly stating that God disciplines his beloved children, that they shouldn't be caught off guard when it happens, that God is using it, as we'll see, for their good, to sanctify them, to make them like Christ. And we need to not forget the word of God, which is brought forth, the exhortation addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. And we saw last week that there are two directions that we can most likely go in the context of being sinful when God disciplines us. When difficulties come upon our lives and he is using them to train us to become more like Christ, we can turn in different directions. And we are told not to regard it lightly, first of all, the discipline of the Lord. That speaks, as we saw, having an apathetic, nonchalant, unconcerned reaction, seeing something as of little value. And I relate that to the reality as we experience trials, difficulties come in our lives for whatever reason. We can kind of write it off as, okay, it's because of this or because of this or because of this. Yeah, maybe so, but behind that, the Lord is using it to train us. And that's where we need not be nonchalant. We need to not take it lightly. It's a serious thing God is allowing in our lives. It's an important thing because he's making us like Jesus Christ. We are not to hold it or regard it lightly, but take it seriously. Even if it's your fault or not, whatever it might be, take it seriously. God is working in you his glorious plan through those difficulties. And every Christian, we should go back to this mindset when difficulties come upon our lives. We should go back to this understanding and not forget what God is doing. Not forget the exhortation which is addressed to us as sons. Well, there's another opposite response that we looked at last week that we might be tempted to fall into when difficulties come our way. He says, nor faint when you are reproved by him. Remember, we saw the term faint speaks of losing heart, getting discouraged, maybe even giving up in a sense. Things can become so difficult in our lives, we give up. I can't take it anymore. I don't want to deal with this, whatever it might be. We're not to faint. We're not to lose heart because God is behind it doing good if we understand that. God is behind it, as we're going to see, doing things for our benefit. Now, certainly we can suffer for the consequences of sins. And if we're not confessing it, God's going to keep spanking and spanking, right? But when we confess our sin, we recognize even those consequences and whatever else is happening, God is using for good. He loves us. He's a good father. He's not like a mean earthly father who just spanks and shows no compassion. He's one who uses it to train the heart so that we will become more like Jesus Christ. There is a purpose behind everything that is done in our lives. And we need to recognize this. So we know that we've experienced that you go through difficulties. You want to give up. You want to change your circumstances, whatever it might be. We're not to do that. We're not to faint when we are reproved by him. Are you struggling to hold on? Don't faint. Are you taking things lightly? Don't do so. Recognize God is using whatever it is. He is using it to make you more like Jesus Christ. Remember, this discipline stems from his love. Now, we need to think about it. Have we forgotten his word? Have we forgotten his word practically speaking when we go through difficulties? Are you going through a difficulty right now? Have you forgotten that God disciplines the ones he loves? Have you forgotten that those difficulties he will and is wanting to use for good if we allow him to do so? Well, we see clearly it's through his love and the reason why he does it. Verse 6, for those whom the Lord loves. Isn't that wonderful? Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. You see, by this the love of God was manifested, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of sins. You see, God demonstrated his love for us by sending his only Son, Jesus Christ. God the Son came and took on human flesh. He lived the perfect life. He didn't sin, and he was taken by his creation according to God's predetermined plan. But through that evil that the creation did to him, they crucified him. And yet God used that to bring about the forgiveness of sins. And he died for our sins and then rose from the dead. You see, God loves us. He loves us. And any loving father doesn't sit back and just watch bad things happen to their kids without being intimately involved in wanting the best for them. You see, and so when things happen to us, we can't forget that whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He loves us. It's not for us to be squashed like bugs. It's not for us to be destroyed. It's for us to be, as we will see, benefited, for us to be built up, for us to become more like him, to share in his holiness, to have the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So we got to renew our minds. We got to get our heads straight when difficulties come. It doesn't mean we deny those things, but we see beyond those things what a loving Heavenly Father is doing. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. We need to remember this. You need to remember this if you're a true believer. And then notice, we saw this in verse 7, which goes along with this. It is for discipline that you endure. It is not for the spanking. It is for God's training that is making you more like Jesus, that is changing you, that is working on you. I tell you right now, when you go through a difficult time, it makes you think about your behavior, right? It makes you think about your actions. It makes you think about the way you're living, right? And God uses that through his word to change us, to convict us, to correct us, to grow us. And so we recognize it is for his instruction, his chastisement, it is for his education of us that we endure these things that come upon us in this life. There's no other reason to endure the difficulties if God isn't doing something good in them, isn't it? And what good are these difficulties if God is not doing good in them? Even when we fail and we confess, yes, there are consequences, but we trust him. He's going to teach us. He's going to make us more like Jesus. We mustn't forget God's sanctifying purposes in discipline. It is for discipline that you endure. And then we see that God's discipline affirms that we're his children. Middle verse 7, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Hey, what true, genuine son is there that the father doesn't discipline? It's just a question. Well, it's a question that has an answer. Well, of course, a true son is going to be disciplined. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, all believers, by the way, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. If God is not using the events in your life to make you more like Jesus Christ, then you need to question whether you really know the Lord. You need to question whether you really know the Lord. If you have never, ever been convicted of sin and grown through difficulties because of difficulties that came on you for whatever reason, if that has never happened, if God has not used his discipline to grow you, then you need to question, maybe I'm not a child of God yet. Maybe I truly haven't repented of my sins and trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And when you do so, when you're a true child of God, when you truly humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, you truly humble yourself and call upon Jesus Christ, he'll save you. And then that process of the bad things in your life will now be for good rather than for bad like it was before you came to Jesus Christ. God deals with us as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, verse 8, of which all have become partakers, you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, and he's using examples here, we had earthly fathers to discipline us and we respected them. Basically, those who had a father who disciplined them, children respected them if they weren't rebels or wicked, right? They respected their parents for disciplining them, right? They respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? how much more should we subject ourselves to God the Father in His discipline and allow Him to bring life to us, in a sense, right? How much more should we subject ourselves, if you subjected yourself to your Father's discipline, how much more a loving Father who loves you should we subject ourselves? And as I mentioned last week, that's part of our problem. We don't want to subject ourselves to God, so we rebel against His purposes in the midst of the difficulties that come in our lives. But we should subject ourselves. Folks, we, all of us, I'm talking to myself as I preach here, we need to submit to our loving Heavenly Father's disciplinary training. We need to submit to Him because He's doing good, not bad. He's doing good. Remember, we saw the ultimate purpose in verse 10. For they, speaking of earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us, what? For our good. Now, last week I shared that that word good is not the usual word for good. It's a word that's translated usually profitable or profit or benefit. He disciplines us for our benefit. He's using the difficulties in our lives for our good, for our benefit. We need to remember that. And why? That we may share His holiness. You see, God is holy, and God has said that we're to be holy. But the way we become holy is when God weeds out sin, and then He produces the life of Christ in us as we abide and trust in Him. That's how He produces holiness in us. And so as we become more and more dependent on Jesus, as we confess sin and walk rightly, have our tracks of our lives straight, as we'll see in a moment, the Lord God enables us in that context to share in His holiness. His character is manifest in us. So He is allowing the things that we so dread, and we do dread them, right? Doesn't seem joyful for the moment, right? He is allowing those things, whatever it is, that we might share in His holiness. He wants us to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to have the right attitude in our tribulations and trials. Turn to Romans chapter 5. We're going to see this in the Apostle Paul, the way we as believers should see our tribulations. We have to renew our minds because this is not innate to us. Our feelings and things don't go this way. We have to renew our minds. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult, or the word could be even say boast in a sense. We exult in our what? Tribulations. Why, really? Well, look what he says. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. That's Christ-likeness. And proven character.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today's message gives us a lot of review of the past several broadcasts, but as we close today's broadcast, give us a takeaway from your message.
Well, Dave, as we've seen, if you're true sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to be disciplined. You see, God is going to train us as a good father would. So with that in mind, we need to submit to God's work through the discipline that He is using in our lives to make us more like Christ. So my question is, are you rebelling or are you subjecting yourself to God in the context of His loving discipline? You see, our Heavenly Father's disciplinary training is because He loves us, and He disciplines us for our good, that we might share in His holiness. And that's God's will for our life. So then, with this in mind, we're going to continue our look next time on Equipping the Saints at how to respond to God's loving discipline. So make plans to join us then.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lunstead, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.